Hi, I'm Melanie Renee. I represented Switzerland in 2015, and you're watching Destination Eurovision Memories.
We're back together. So back together. Yeah, we're back together. So back together. I'm back on my own.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pavel.
Hello, I'm Sebastian.
And it's time for the sixth episode of the Memories Destination Eurovision YouTube series. Today, our guest is Melanie Renee, representative of Switzerland at Eurovision 2015 in Vienna. Hello, Melanie. How are you today?
Hi, I am great. How are you?
I'm fine, and Sebastian is fine too, I think.
Extraordinary, because you are with us right now. It can be better. It can be better.
I'm really honored. Thank you for having me.
We will right now talk about your performance. So Melanie, let's play your performance on our screen and let's chat about it a little bit. All right, Melanie, so please let us know, do you remember what you have in mind when the lights go out and your 3 minutes in the semi-final of Eurovision Song Contest started?
Well, actually, I remember like just before that being super stressed, but at the same time, I was feeling so grateful to have the opportunity to, you know, be on that Eurovision stage and singing my song. And I remember at the beginning when like the first few notes started, when I saw the people, like not well close to the stage, they were singing the words with me. I remember feeling so happy, like I think one of the happiest moments of my life. And just thinking about it, just it gives me goosebumps.
What do you like the most about this performance? Is there anything you would change if you could?
No, you know what? We sat down with the whole Swiss delegation, with my backing vocalist as well. We sat down and we tried to, you know, do everything the same as we imagined. And I think it really was what we had in mind, all of us. So I don't think I would change that. However, I think in terms of like healthy, the camera angles and all that, I think we would do this slightly different.
Okay, so the question is, if how many points from 1 to 10 you will give yourself and your team for this presentation?
Oh gosh, you know what, this is not a fair question. How many did you give to Switzerland for that performance? That should be the question.
We can say, I will give you 9, Pavel.
I will give you 10 out of 10. You were one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. That really goes straight to my heart.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do it otherwise, not as always, but Melanie gave us this question, but it's absolutely lovely to head it in this forum. And okay, we are going right now to the questions from our editorial team, from your fans. So let's move on with the next set.
And the first question is, what's the funniest story or memory from your whole Eurovision experience?
Oh, a funny story. We had many because we were a very clumsy bunch. Like the first one that comes to mind, I remember when, you know, the moment where all the contestants comes on stage and then we have to walk to go to the green room. So we had to go on stage, then climb down a few stairs, walk the whole length of the stadium and then climb up another set of stairs. And I remember I nearly fell when I was walking down. And I was so lucky. I had like one of my backing vocalists who is there, and I just like grabbed her. And then the same thing happened when I was walking up the stairs to go to the green room. And I actually fell, but thank God that was not on camera. Yeah, this is like one of the funniest moments I can remember. I remember it was as well in the like in the area where we were getting ready. So not backstage, but like in the sort of preparing area thing. My backing vocalists were having fun, and I think they were like getting changed or getting warmed up. I can't remember. And one of them fell, and she actually knocked the wall that was separating us from, I can't remember the contestant that was next to us, but she actually made like a little hole in the paper wall. And I was just like, oh, Sweden is not going to have a good reputation here.
I believe it's not so wrong sometimes to do the hole in the wall. Don't worry. It happens to everybody.
I shouldn't be saying that because they probably didn't know that it was us. They were just like, how did that happen? I don't think they said anything, and they told me that afterwards because I was not there. But yeah, we did have like a few clumsy moments with the girls, and that was actually really fun.
Lovely to hear, and I really, really think that moms do the same. So everybody is doing it at Eurovision Song Contest. It's pretty awesome. All right, so we talked about the most funny story. So how about the most emotional moment from your whole Eurovision time?
Oh, there were quite a few emotional moments. I think when we first rehearsed on the Eurovision stage, and we actually like took it in. I say we mainly was like the girls that were on stage with me. We sort of like looked at each other thinking, this is like the opportunity of a lifetime. And we managed to, you know, get there, be on that Eurovision stage. That was one of like, it was a very emotional moment. But I think for me personally, like the most incredible emotional moment that I have experienced was, yeah, on that stage and having that energy, you know, in the whole stadium where people were there to, you know, share their passion for music, for Eurovision, and it was incredible. And having people, you know, sharing that connection with every artist and having them like singing my song, that was just, it was incredible. And I remember when we walked out of stage after the performance with the girls, we started crying because it was just like, yeah, it was really, I think this is like the one of the best moments of my entire lifetime. So, yeah. but also, you know, meeting the fans, getting to, you know, speak to them, talk to them, and sharing like a special connection. It was just incredible. I felt like it was a real sort of big family, Eurovision family. So it was an incredible experience. Just for this, I would probably do it again.
So Eurovision is kind of emotional bump, isn't it?
Yeah, big times.
And the next question is about rehearsals. Mm-hmm. Which one of all you had in Vienna was your favorite and why? Was there something that maybe surprised you?
I don't know. All of the rehearsals were fun because obviously, like I said, you know, it's the Eurovision stage. So obviously that's like, wow. But for me, it was more a question of like, getting everything right, because there was specific moment in the song where we had to look a certain direction because that was like camera number one, and then look another direction because that was camera number two, and all this. So it was very sort of very technical. So we didn't. It wasn't. Of course, it was fun, but it was not like we were not sort of performing. I don't know if you know what I mean. it was very technical, so we had to really stay focused and more than just like, you know, putting the emotions and all that. We were really focusing on all of these technical parts. And at one point I had to open the dress and a few times in the rehearsals, so not on the stage, but when we were rehearsing before, it didn't open. We had problems with that. So I was very focused. But I guess like the last rehearsal, when everything was getting in place and everything was running smoothly, this is when we sort of went like, oh, okay, this is it. We're ready. We're going to do it. So yeah, probably the last one.
All right. So speaking of fans and speaking of people who are you met in this time of the Eurovision, what's the most memorable, interesting question or interview you had this time?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what? Before Eurovision, I was just like, you know, a random girl, like finishing her studies and all that. So I had never been in the spotlight like that. So every interview for me was like, oh, it's new and I should really be careful not to say any stupid things. So for me, everything was new, brand new and exciting. So I can't say that I had one particular one in mind, but I have to admit that when we were walking down the red carpet, and there was like one side that was all the fans, and then the other side was all the journalists, all the bloggers and all that. And they were interviewing everyone, and I could hear people shouting my name, and I didn't know where to go, and I was like, oh, where? So the one side was the fan calling the name, and then the other side was the journalist, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. But that was the most interesting experience of the whole Eurovision journey in terms of like interviews and yeah.
And the next question should be about Eurovision red carpet. So maybe, is there any other memory, maybe funny memory from the Eurovision red carpet that you still remember?
Well, talking about clumsiness, I remember, so we just got on the site and we were going to start walking down the red carpet. And my manager came up to me and she was like, your dress is starting to fall, because one of the strap had like loosened up and we didn't have any like safety pin, anything to sort of like stitch it back up. So she was just like, you're going to have to like sort of put a scarf around it so that people don't, you know, see anything that you don't want them to see. So yeah. And I had that really, gorgeous dress from the designer Frédéric Lucalandi, and I just remember feeling really disappointed with me having to put a scarf on top of it, and I was like, this is going to be awkward, but apparently it doesn't really show on the pictures, so I'm glad. But that was a funny experience. And then yeah, just the whole red carpet event was pretty interesting, because thank God we had the Swiss delegation with us, and the girl who was in charge of this, like the media, she was like, okay, you need to go there and then you need to go there. But if I have one like sort of tiny regret regarding the red carpet, would be they didn't allow me enough time to go and meet the fans on the other side. Which is really, it's really sad, because obviously, you know, they're there for all the artists, and I don't know how it is with the other delegations, but for us, they're like, you need to try and speak to everyone, but we're gonna sort of push you towards the media. So the side with all the journalists, and it was fun because, you know, I got to talk to a lot of people, I also got to speak to a few fans, but we didn't spend as much time. So yeah, that would be a slight regret that I had.
So ladies and gentlemen, if you are war in Vienna in 2015 and you are chanting Melanie, Melanie, you can contact this phenomenal lady in the internet, by the social medias. I believe that Melanie would love to chat with you some way, somehow.
Oh, yes, definitely. Big time.
So we have a deal. Okay. So how about your first thoughts, impressions about seeing everything from backstage artist perspective when you were just first time ever enter the Eurovision building, where is the stage, and you see everything from this perspective of artist?
I felt like a kid in Disneyland for the first time. You know, like with the big eyes and like being amazed by everything. This is how it's feeling. But do you know what? From the very moment that we step out of the airport, there was someone there to sort of welcome us, and they had little Eurovision bags with like goodies and stuff. And yeah, I just felt really spoiled, and I was treated like a princess the whole time. And obviously, for someone who has no clue as to, you know, how it's supposed to be, I was just like, I was feeling amazed and very grateful, but at the same time I was feeling intimidated. I was like, oh, all of this for us, this is crazy. So yeah, at this, and then when we did the rehearsals, like everybody was like so professional and so nice and so organized. I had never seen that before, but obviously, you know, they've got like 42 countries to sort of manage, so obviously they need to be organized, but for me, I was really impressed. So yeah, from the very beginning until the end of this Eurovision journey, it was phenomenal. For me, I'll just keep an incredible memory of it all.
And now we change a bit. Could you name your favorite songs and performances from the other artists, other participants from Eurovision in Vienna? Was there something you liked very much at that time?
There were two songs that I absolutely adored, and I'm really happy that they did really great. It was Belgium's song, Rhythm Inside, and Aminata's song.
Love Injected.
Yeah, those were my two favorite songs. Obviously they were great songs this year, but these were my favorites because there was so I don't want to say they didn't sound like the typical Eurovision song, but they didn't, like they were quite unusual, like very modern and sort of very, I'm not going to say ahead of their time, but sort of. And eventually, like 2 years after that, the sort of very minimalistic arrangements and production in songs was in the, what was trendy. So yeah, they were amazing songs.
Perfect.
Say this. I thought that I can't love you more, but it's possible. After your answer.
Thank you. What were your favorite songs from that year?
Actually, Belgium, yeah. Latvia, and your song.
So as we see, you fit Pavel music taste perfectly, 100%. This is why.
Amazing.
This interview is going so good. Okay, so let's go with the next question. How about artists and delegation members with who you get along with? You become super buddies because you spend time on the Eurovision pre-concert. It's also a little bit of time to chat, to talk between the performances, between the rehearsals. With who you become really close friends at this time?
Well, I think that's another regret that I have, is that we didn't spend enough time with the other contestants, because, you know, everything is very, very organized. Everything is scheduled. So when we come at the rehearsal, we're sort of like the last ones in the list. So all the artists and delegations that were at the top, like in the beginning, we didn't really see them. So we, I say we, cause it's me and the girls, me and the backing vocalists. We got on really well with the people that were in front of us and then behind us. So that was Cyprus and Sweden. And yeah, we got on really well. Every time we were on the set, we would joke around, and we did keep in touch. Well, not with Sweden, because obviously Mans was, everything was happening for him afterwards, but we did keep in touch with Cyprus, that like the delegation and the artist, for a couple of weeks, and then obviously we all go our separate ways. We all do our stuff, but we still follow each other on the social media. So yeah, those were like the main ones. But then during the Eurovision concerts, like in the Euroclub and all that, I got to meet Amber, and she's such a sweetheart. I'm really sad that we didn't manage to keep in touch afterwards, but during the Eurovision, like, she was such a sweetheart, and we did get along really well.
Okay, so what did the whole Eurovision experience give you? What's the biggest advantage and the disadvantage of your Eurovision journey?
There was a lot of advantages, right? Because I was just finishing my studies when I got literally thrown in the whole Eurovision experience. I didn't think that my song would go that far, to be honest. So everything from then was just like bonuses for me. It gave me a good visibility. So after that, I did get the chance to do a lot of concerts and travel around Europe to sing and, you know, continue meeting the Eurovision family. And I don't know about the bad points of it. I don't really have any. Yeah, for me, it was just everything started from there. Like, it gave me a lot of experience. It sort of showed me as well what I wanted and what I didn't want. In terms of everything, like in terms of people around me and music, and yeah, it was a great sort of school, music school in that sense. And also it gave me the opportunity to meet amazing people, whether they were artists, delegations, promoters, journalists. Yeah, it was for me, it was just an incredible experience, learning experience, and networking experience as well. So I don't see any bad points to it, to be fair.
This is the most amazing answer, which we love to hear. Great to see that this perspective from your side. Okay, maybe tough question, but is there any secret about your Eurovision journey which you never ever told anyone in public?
I don't know. Do you know what? Because I was not used to being interviewed, I was sort of like an open book. So I was just like sharing my life and sharing my experience with people. But yeah, it's not really a secret, but I didn't believe in my song, so I didn't think that it would go that far. So when the woman who then became my manager got in touch with me, and she was like, "This is the Eurovision song," and I was like, "No, it's not. It's something I wrote in my bedroom." So no, she's like, "No, we're gonna go far. I really believe in this." And I was like, this is not a Eurovision song. It's never going to go far and I'm never going to get selected. So just drop it. And I didn't want to do it because of that. But she really believed in it. And then she sent the song to, like, for the Swiss selection. And it kept going further and further. And I was like, oh my God. And then it got to the national final. And in my head, I was like, okay, this is amazing experience for me, like on my musical CV, but it's never going to get selected. So I'm just going to, you know, write it down as a great experience. And then I'll just going to go back I was living in London at that point because I had just finished my studies. So I'm just going to, you know, go back home, go to London and, you know, keep on with, you know, my life. And it happened, and I was just like, what the hell is happening? And it went so quickly. I did not have time to actually take it in that I was representing a whole country. And it didn't really sink in until I actually got to Vienna. So that was like 3 months afterwards. And everything went really quickly. And I think, if it's not really a regret, but because I've learned a lot, but had I had more time to prepare, I would have done things slightly differently, because I always wanted to have a stage name, because for me it's easier, and I think for artists in general, it's easier to sort of dissociate the artist and then the, you know, everyday person. So I wanted to have an artist name, and I didn't have time to do that because in my head, I was never going to win the national final. So I didn't have time to actually sit and think. They were like, okay, so what's your artist name? And I was like, I don't know. We're just going to write your name down. And I was like, oh, okay. And this is how I got stuck with Melanie Renee. Same with the genre. I sort of had an idea of, you know, trying to mix the electronic music, like dubstep, drum and bass, that sort of electronic with pop, but I wasn't there yet. I was still trying to experiment with stuff. And so, when Eurovision happened, I had nothing. I had like songs in my drawers, but like they were not finished and they had no arrangements. So we sort of like rushed to try and, you know, release something straight after Eurovision, but it was not in the style that I really wanted. So I think in retrospect, if I could change something, that would be it. I think I would really sit down, figure out all of this, have a couple of songs in the music genre that I wanted, and then do the competition, because I would have been more ready after Eurovision to sort of like keep pushing forward. Whereas I feel like we did lose a little bit of time because of this, because I was trying to find my style really. So yeah, it took about 3.5 years to actually really nail it down. But yeah, here we are now.
We are so happy to hear that you love Eurovision and think in positive way.
Definitely.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry to announce it, but this was unfortunately our last question. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your time, to share your precious memories with us. For kind words about Belgium and Latvia, and we really appreciate it. We really do. Once again, big thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure to share all of this with you guys.
And at the very end, a few words to our viewers. If you enjoyed this interview, I'm convinced that so. Do not forget to like it and to subscribe to our channel. And of course, we encourage you to listen to Melanie music. If someone doesn't know it, Melanie makes music under the name Melis. Am I speaking right?
That's right.
Yes.
Melis, okay. The new stage name.
See you soon in the next episode. And good luck, Melanie. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. We're back together.